second Perek of Pirkei Avos this week. And Perek Bey is Mishnah Dalet. And I want to start with Hillel, in the middle of the Mishnah. Hillel Oimer, Achif Reish Min HaTzibur. One should not separate himself from the Tzibur. There are many different aspects to this. What the Achif Reish Min HaTzibur is. According to the Rav, he says, Ele Hishtatev B'Tzoros, that one should participate and feel the pain of Klal Yisrael, part of our situation. Should call out Perish Min HaTzibur and Aroya Min HaChomas HaTzibur. One that separates himself from the Tzibur will not merit to see the Nechama of the Tzibur. And as the Rav quotes Rashi, the Tosis Yomtiv, the Nechama far exceeds the Tzor. So certainly one wants to be a part of that. And this is a very important theme of a person identifying, his identity is with Klal Yisrael. The Rambam is very, very strong about this in the Yad HaChazokah. The person has to be a chelik of Klal Yisrael. The destiny of Klal Yisrael. There's also, in another sense, a tifresh min atzibur, that a person should always seek the schus of the rabbi. And that fits very well into the Mishnah, which continues, tamen the person on his own should never have absolute confidence in himself, as great as he is. And the classic case, and the Rav quotes it, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and at the end of his life, his Nasa Tzduki went off the derech, King of Kaifa. A Tifresh Min HaTzibur is not only in the sense that a person feels, I don't need the Tzibur, I can exist on my own. That certainly is not something that a person should ever undertake to do. Chazal tell us in Tfilo that a person would have to be davening at a very, very, very high level of process and kindness to the equivalent to davening b'tzibur with a very minimal amount of kavanah. And thus the hischaivus, the obligation to daven b'tzibur, because even if today I'm distracted, even if my tefillah is not the best, it will be received by a Kodesh Baruch Hu because it's tefillah saram. As Gemara says in Tainus, kel kaber lo yimos, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will never reject tefillah saram. But there's another aspect too, and that is a person, you find, there's a Gemara in Yuma, that Yoshua accompanied Moshe Rabbeinu to Har Sinai, and he stood at the foot of Har Sinai for 40 days, for 6 weeks. As Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai to accept the Torah from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And Yoshua waited in that particular place all the entire time. And Chazal tell us that Meshubah had a schus, that he had a schus that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam granted him one. So Chaim Shmulevitz, Chazal asked, why did he get a schus to get one? He was part of Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave one to all of Klal Yisrael. So why shouldn't he give one to Yeshua? And he says, because he was Perish Min HaTzibur. He was separated, he was outside the Machana. And therefore, he was no longer included in the Tzibur. For the greatest of reasons, the most important of reasons, and reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself would affirm. What do we say about Yeshua? The Torah tells us about Yom HaShemitah. He was never separated from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's part of how he was Zeicha to become the next leader of Klal Yisrael, to bring Klal Yisrael in there to Yisrael. So his commitment, his involvement, to always be learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, never to miss a moment of that opportunity, held him to greatness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises him in the Torah. But at the very same time, he was isolated. He was by himself, aside from the team, for the most noble of reasons. And if he's not a chelik of the team, whatever the reason may be, then it's necessary that I have a special schus, needed an extra schus to get the money. Schus of Klal Yisrael was no longer sufficient because it was a perish for that tzibah. And Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal writes that in the escape of Mir Yeshiva from Europe, from the Holocaust, says those that stuck with the yeshiva throughout and never took a step without the yeshiva, they were zeicha. They made it all the way through. They made it to Moscow, they made it to Vladivostok, they made it to Japan, to Shanghai. They proceeded on to the United States. So those, it says, who left yeshiva for the most noble of reasons, there are people that went a few miles away because they wanted to go to a shtetl to visit their parents and say shalom to their parents. And many of them never returned. The schus, harabba, of the chelak of yitzivah, is one of the most powerful merits that we have. And that's what we see from the incident with Yeshua. They needed a special schus to get them out. How careful we have to be always throughout life. But if a person has chaverim, and the person is mekabel from his chaverim, then a person has a chance of success. But if a person is a perish menatzibo, goes off on his own, the Mishnah is telling us, especially then, not to be secure. That a person may stumble. We read recently in Haftarah, a week ago, Haftarah about Shimshon HaGibbon. And the Gemara ponders in the end of the Gemara in Brochus if Menoch was an Am Haaretz or not. Because he didn't realize that he had a Malach, that he was an Am Haaretz. He wasn't an Am Haaretz, but the Gemara has a possibility that Noah was an Am Haaretz. He was a very unlettered person. Shimshon HaGibbon, on the other hand, the Gemara says in Titus, was unusually accomplished. Shimshon HaGibbon was a Dayan, a Shofet, and it says that his Nishmat was Kashem Elokim, and the Farshim, the Yukim Rashi, and the Rasho, and the Sechta Titus tell us that he was unique. There was never, in fact, Racham Shulavitz, and there was no other place in Chazal where this praise is given to anyone. And the meaning of this praise is that he did not err ever in his Mishpat. His Mishpat was 100% correct. The Chochmah that was necessary to do so was understandable. And Racham Shulavitz pointed out that Tzidkus, how the purity of character that he had to have. If he was impure in his character in any way, it would have been minimal bias, and that bias would have thrown off his mishpat, would have erred along the way. Not to err means he had to have a tremendous amount of tzitkus. And the front also the Gemara Numa tells us that he was in the Migdal and the Plishtim. So he turns to the Rabbeinu Shalom and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I never took anything as being shayfet of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, I ask you to follow. From one eye that the Plishtim put out, that you give me the schus to be able to tear down the Migdal and kill all of the Plishtim that are here. And for the second eye, should be shomer, should be preserved from the scarf of the Haba. So the time of Shmulevitz, it's all asked. He says, was he worse than me? I'm the Rosh of a Mir Yeshiva, wherever I come, to give me a great deal of cover. And he was the shofet of all of Klal Yisrael. They didn't give him cover. Is that conceivable? But what that tells us is, and he was speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that cover meant nothing. He was beyond cover, which is a very, very high level. In fact, he told the Rabbeinu Shalom, it meant nothing to me. I didn't benefit from it. I had no pleasure in it at all. And yet, what happens? He decides to marry a Plishti woman. And Manoach tells him, this is destructive. Don't do it. And what does Shimshon HaGibbon answer? I desire. Shimshon HaGibbon saw the entire world in proper perspective. His mishpat for everyone was flawless. But when it came time to look in the mirror for himself, his mishpat was so flawed that an Am Haaretz could see the mishpat better than he did. So Chaim Shmulevitz raised the question, does that mean that all is lost? That if we can't see ourselves, then how are we supposed to know right and wrong in this world? He said, the answer is, we're not all as loose. That we need to have a good wife, a good spouse, good friends, that are willing to tell us all, and we have to have the willingness to listen. He says, and that's what can save us from some of the biggest mistakes that we can make in life. Sometimes for ourselves, we can't see what's appropriate. We have others around us that are appreciated by us and have a commitment to us and are willing to speak honestly to us. And if we have the openness to accept that which they say, can spare us some of life's greatest mistakes. Even the Kohen Gadol, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, 80 years, he was Kohen Gadol. He went to Lifnei v'Lifnim 80 times on Yom Kippur, and he went off the Derech. So what do we need to preserve ourselves? We need the input sometimes of our spouse and our father. And then he offered some other sage advice. And this also follows in the same thing, the aspect of humility in this touch. A lot of times we see people and they do particular things which seem very strange to us. You cannot begin to fathom them. But we also have to realize that we don't sit in their place in the world. Meaning we don't know the nisyonos, the challenges that they face. Why they live the way they live may be in fact in response to the very challenges that they have. They have no choice. There's no other way for them to do it. And therefore, we need a certain sense of humility to understand that we don't understand the whole world around us. And we see people, we don't understand them. We have to leave it at that point. We don't understand it. But there may be a very, very good reason for what they do. And what if we understood all the factors involved in their life, we would agree with them. We would tell them to act in this particular fashion, as strange and bizarre as it seems to us then. So this is a good means of getting on in the world. Not to be so quick to judgment. To be willing to take a step back and say, there are more factors here than I understand. But the next part of the Mishnah, to reflect, there are different texts to this Mishnah and different pshatim. Rashi's text is Atomer Dovah She'efshe Lishmoa Shesofu Lishoma. And Rashi learns that this next part of the Mishnah is talking about when a person has the opportunity to learn. So you shouldn't say, well, I could learn today, but listen, I could get to share a different day. Shesofu Lishoma. Don't assume that the opportunity will present itself again. The opportunity doesn't always knock twice. And if I have the chance to listen to a share, to learn Torah from someone, seize that opportunity. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. If we have any greater demonstration in the last 3 months, I'll be excited. As we hit the middle of March, we expect it. Life will proceed. We'll have a share for the Dachyami, all the varied share of what happened. All of a sudden, we were shut in the house, cut off from everything. Baruch Hashem, that the Rabbeinu Shalala provided us with the Zoom technology, so at least after a little bit, most of us were able to pick up, begin to go forward again. But the opportunities that we had, we can't take them for granted. Today I have the shir. Maybe I won't have the opportunity to hear the shir tomorrow. It's therefore, I'll tell my other Shakti Yochel Shmoya Achshav, Shetishmoy Shalom, so I'll hear it another time, that shir. Seize the opportunity immediately. And the question then arises, then what's the last part of the Mishnah? A person shouldn't say that when I have time, I'll learn. Maybe in fact you'll never find the time. So this seems to be repetitious of the last part of the Mishnah according to Rashi. It said, that I'll hear them at the end. So the Mefarshim tell us that the Tosfos Yontif, this has to do with the fact that those things that a person learns on his own, those things that he goes to a shir, so the Tana told us, you have a shir, Who says you'll be zeicher to hear a share if you missed the share today? You'll hear a share a different time. That you'll engage the Talmud Chacham and he'll explain to you the whole share if you missed it today that he gives it. Well, a person may say, well, that's if there's a share, but how about my own learning? My own learning, I do it my own schedule. I don't need anyone else. I'm not dependent upon anyone else. Well, I won't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. What am I losing? Beyond the fact that I lose the opportunity to learn today, that's one thing. But who says that I'll ever get there? Do we know what life will bring? Do we know the challenges that life will bring, the responsibilities that it will bring? When a person in the Tiferes Yisrael, it's something very interesting. When a person is very busy, whatever he's busy with, his business is busy, running yeshiva, he's busy being a rov, whatever he's busy with. But we wind up at times in gavra le gavra. We have small amounts of time in between our responsibilities, between one meeting and the next, etc. Just don't lose those small amounts of time. You have 15 minutes. Don't say, well, it's only 15 minutes. What can I accomplish in 15 minutes? But if you stop to take note of all the 15 minutes that you have, here 15 minutes, there 15 minutes, the 15 minutes start to add up to something very significant. I mean, there's a very well-known story. There was a big guy in Yerushalayim, Reuven Zelig Bengis. He was a Talmud of, he was a Talmud of the Lozhe Yeshiva. And he was a tremendous, tremendous, he was later the writer of the Eidah Haredes. He was an awesome guy. A writer, a firm writer said he once came to speak to him, so he wanted him to understand how much he had to work to at learning to get some of this. So they told him to open up a Gemara and read him four words, not generic words, but like, Omar Rav, Yehuda Omar Rav, four words of a sentence. He says, I'll tell you what the whole sentence is, I'll tell you what the Rashi says in that page, many four words. And he says, I took out many, many Masechtas off the shelf, and I used to roll, and one after the next, he just